Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Entero Healthcare Solutions Limited Q2 FY25 earnings call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. The statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Dani from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, Gitesh. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, we're delighted to host the senior management of Entero Healthcare Solutions for the Q2 FY25 earnings call. On the call, we have representing Entero Healthcare Solutions, the management team comprising of Mr. Prabhat Agarwal, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. C.V. Ram, CFO of the company, and SGA, the IR advisors. I will hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, and then we move to Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good evening, and thank you, everyone, for joining our earnings conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance for quarter two of financial year 25. On this call, I'm joined by Ram, Group CFO, and SGA, our internal investor relations advisors. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchanges and also on our company's website. I shall provide a brief overview of the key operational highlights, after which Ram will take you through the highlights of our quarter two FY25 financial performance. We are delighted to announce another quarter of strong industry-leading growth. Our consolidated revenues for quarter two FY25 stood at rupees 1,301 crores, marking a robust 31% year-on-year increase from rupees 996 crores in quarter two of financial year 24. This performance significantly outpaced the Indian pharmaceutical market growth, which grew by 8% over the same period. Our growth was driven by both organic expansion and contributions from our strategic acquisitions, reflecting our strong execution of a dual growth strategy. The significant revenue growth was accompanied with EBITDA margin improvement of 40 basis points to 3.3%, and as a result, our EBITDA grew by 49% over last year, reaching rupees 42 crores for the quarter. The EBITDA margin improvement was driven primarily by gross margin expansions through our continued efforts towards driving procurement efficiencies, a better product mix, and cost optimization. Entero has strategically positioned itself as one of the largest players in India's fragmented healthcare product distribution landscape. The healthcare distribution market, valued at $33 billion, has ample room for consolidation, which we believe will be transformative for the sector. To capture the massive consolidation opportunity in this fragmented market, we have adopted a mix of both organic and inorganic strategies. Leveraging our extensive India reach and network, which is growing continuously, which at present comprises of 95 warehouses, 3,100-plus hospital coverage, and access to over 79,500 pharmacy retailers nationwide, we continue to add significant value to healthcare brands. We have been actively working to deepen our market presence across Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities, thereby unlocking new growth opportunities and increasing our wallet share in underserved regions. We remain extremely excited about the potential and the opportunities that Entero All India Distribution Network, infrastructure, and capabilities can bring to enhance the healthcare access and supply chain efficiency in the country. Our strategic priorities are clearly defined for us and guide us towards our future actions. We would continue to grow our geographical penetration, customer base, and product basket. We would continue to add more product categories like specialty pharma, medical devices, IVD equipment, surgical consumables, etc., to truly become one-stop shop procurement partner for our customers. We would continue to expand our service offerings in terms of more value-added services such as marketing / promotion for healthcare brands, Health Edge, etc. All of the above will help us to deliver market-beating organic growth and become partner of choice for both the brands and also the customers, that is pharmacies and hospitals. Our internal target for organic growth is to deliver at least 2 times of market growth rate using the above-mentioned organic growth strategies. We also remain committed to expand our operating margins, where the prime levers are better product mix in terms of product and service level offerings, procurement efficiencies, and operating leverage. We are committed to deliver quarter and quarter improvement in these metrics. On the inorganic front, we are continuously evaluating M&A opportunities which enhances our geographic reach or expand our product and service offerings. We are evaluating margin-accretive acquisition opportunities mostly and have built good pipeline of potential targets. In FY25, we have completed 9 acquisitions which add collectively ₹750 crores in annualized revenue in FY24 and added newer product categories like diagnostic consumable and equipments, medical devices, etc., and added newer geographies as well. Full revenues and earnings from these acquisitions would be recorded from quarter 3, as some of these acquisitions happened during the middle of quarter 2. Further, we have signed binding MOUs with 2 entities in Kerala and Haryana, which has been disclosed yesterday. So we are on course to achieve 1,000 crores of annualized revenue as per our guidance. Our unique business model and value proposition in this fragmented healthcare supply chain market, along with strong and committed leadership team and strong balance sheet post-IPO, gives us the confidence to deliver strong shareholder returns. I would like to thank our team for their relentless efforts and our shareholders for their continued support. With this, I will now ask Ram to summarize the company's financial performance for quarter 2, FY25.
Thank you, Prabhat, and good evening, everyone. Coming to Q2 FY25 consolidated financial highlights, revenue for Q2 FY25 is at 1,301 crore, registering a growth of 31% year-on-year basis. 15% of this growth is organic and 16% is from inorganic growth. So as mentioned by Prabhat, we have completed 9 acquisitions so far in FY25 and we have recorded 128 crores revenue from these new acquisitions for Q2 FY25. We recorded gross profit margin of 9.4% in Q2 FY25 vis-a-vis 9% in Q2 FY24. An improvement of 39 basis points. Our gross margin growth reflects our initiatives in procurement efficiencies and improving our product mix. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 42 crores with a growth of 49% year-to-year basis. EBITDA margins in Q2 FY25 is at 3.3% vis-a-vis 2.9% in the same quarter previous year, recording an improvement of 40 basis points. This is primarily on account of high margin acquisitions and other gross margin improvement initiatives we have taken during the quarter. We continue to make investments in talent to facilitate integration and expansion of acquisitions and to improve operating efficiencies in organic business. While these expenses are crucial to fostering long-term growth, they have had a temporary moderating impact in our operating margins and operating leverage. Despite that, we have been able to improve our margins from product mix and procurement efficiencies. Profit after tax for the quarter is at 26 crores, increasing by nearly 4 times on year-to-year basis. This spurt is on account of higher EBITDA and optimized net finance costs. The significant influence of our recent acquisitions will begin to show prominently in our financial results from Q3 FY25, with partial effects already dialed into Q2 FY25. Integrating these acquisitions into Entero's operations will enhance margins and operating leverage by expanding scale and refining our business mix for greater efficiency. Now coming to H1 FY25 consolidated financial highlights. Revenue for H1 FY25 is at 2,398 crores with a growth of 26% on year-to-year basis. Gross profit margin stood at 9.3%, an improvement of 34 basis points. EBITDA for H1 FY25 is at 73 crores, an increase of 34% on year-on-year basis. Operating margins for H1 FY25, 3%, which is an improvement of 16 basis points. Profit after tax for H1 FY25 is at 47 crores, an increase of 300% against the same period last year. On the working capital front, in Q2 FY25, our net working capital days stood at 69 days. When we exclude the impact of our recent acquisitions, working capital days stood at 65 days. We could optimize 4 days of working capital compared to Q1 FY25. In H1 FY25, our working capital days stood at 75 days. If we exclude the impact of recent acquisitions completed, the working capital days stood at 68 days. This highlights our core business efficiency and consistent focus on cash flow optimization. This balance reinforces the financial resilience of our core business as we continue expanding through strategic acquisitions. Our commitment to disciplined working capital management remains central to our strategy. During Q2 FY25, we have witnessed an improvement in return profile of the company with an annualized ROCE stood at 11% and return on equity stood at 7.6%. With this, I would like to conclude the presentation and open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. As soon as someone presses star and one to ask a question, the lead operator will enter the conference. So should I start with the question and answer session?
Please do.
Yeah, thank you. The first question is from the line of Gautam Gosar from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So my question is on acquisitions. So firstly, sir, we've spent around roughly 500 crores to do a revenue buyout of around 750 crores. This is what I'm referring from your slide 11 from your PPT, where the IPO proceeds have been used for working capital as well as inorganic growth. So, sir, this, if we calculate, it is around 0.7 times of sales valuation, the expense, the acquisitions have been done. So, sir, my question is more on the side that these valuations seems to be a bit expensive from our previous aspirations of around 0.3 times sales. So, sir, if you could comment on this.
Yeah, hi, Gautam. You know, the acquisitions that we have done during this year, you know, post-IPO is almost on the same valuation multiples that we did before. And we are valuing companies as EBITDA multiple and not as revenue multiple. So if you triangulate from EBITDA multiple point of view, you know, they are in, you know, mid-single digits.
Okay. Understood. Also, sir, one clarification on your acquisitions. So I just wanted to understand the acquisitions you've done in this quarter, like from August, you've done Gaurav Medical, Sai Pharma, etc. So have these been included in your quarter results or will it be deferred into quarter three? So basically, we wanted to understand how many of acquisitions have already been included in this quarter and how many will be coming from the next quarter.
So as what Ram mentioned, that 128 crore of revenue has been included in quarter two, right? But this is not the full impact of acquisitions because, you know, some of these acquisitions happened during different time frames within this quarter. So the full impact will be felt from next quarter onwards.
Okay. So in your press releases, you mentioned that the acquisition to be completed by, for example, 30th September. So for these acquisitions, should we consider like these will be coming from 1st October onwards in your revenue top line?
No, I see. I think eight acquisitions we have already completed before Q2 itself, and then we'll have complete revenue and complete set of financials reflected in Q3. And there are, you know, one acquisition that will be complete, that is completed in October, and then other two we just announced recently.
Okay. Understood. Okay, sir, my next question is on the organic growth. So earlier, like couple of quarters back, you were doing around 18%-20% organic growth, and in this quarter we've done around 15%. So, sir, has the revenue growth slowed down or is in line with our expectations? And if you could guide on this going forward, it would be really helpful.
So, you know, Gautam, we have always guided that, you know, our internal target for organic growth is, you know, 1.5x-2x of market growth rate. Okay. So for last quarter, if you look at, the market has grown by 8% and we have grown by 15%. So more or less, we are within that target range. Okay. The market also, as you know, last one or two quarters, little bit slowed down in terms of growth rate, right? So that's the reason we always give a guidance in relation to the market growth rate.
Okay, fair. So lastly, on acquisitions, so, I basically wanted to understand, are we getting the targets easily or the market has become very competitive and it is difficult to find on the acquisition targets? Because, the valuation multiple, according to me, seems a bit high, and we have around more 300 odd crores left on the IPO proceeds. So how much revenue expectations should we assume from the 300 crore, which we have left for the acquisitions to be spent?
So, Gautam, let me first answer your apprehension that, you know, the market is becoming more competitive for acquisition. That is entirely not true. Okay. And our valuation multiples have also not expanded. We are still buying, you know, acquisition in, you know, as I told before, 5x-8x of EBITDA multiple, not more than that. You know, none of our acquisitions have exceeded that kind of a multiple threshold. And it is not difficult to buy targets. Now, we have become much more selective in acquiring. You know, earlier, you know, now because we have already reached many geographies which were not before, we have expanded product portfolio, so we are very selective on acquisitions. It's much easier, in fact, I would say, to find targets. And valuation also has not expanded, valuation multiple, I mean. So, you know, we gave a guidance that we will, this year we'll complete 1,000+ crores acquisition. We have already done 750 crores, another 60 crores we have already announced, and balance we will complete in before end of this year.
Okay.
Your calculations on, you know, your valuation multiple is not true. You might want to separately connect with Ram offline on that.
Sure, sure. I'll do that offline. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth, Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and good set of numbers. Congratulations on that. My question is on cash flows. If you see, despite, you know, our efforts of improving margins and improving working capital to some extent, we are still on a half yearly basis, our year-on-year operating cash has negative operating capital expanded. If you can comment on how are you looking at what are our strategies to improve or, you know, turn around our operating cash flow to, you know, kind of give us internal fuel to expand internally from the internal cash generation?
Yeah. So basically, you know, there are two levers to turn from a negative operating cash flow to positive operating cash flow. The number one lever is, of course, expansion margins, right? So we need to have more internal approvals to fund working capital requirements. And secondly, is to reduce the working capital cycle. And on both these things, you would have noticed some improvement in this quarter. You know, the margins have improved from 2.8 to  3.3, which meant more internal approval. And working capital cycle also reduced from 68 days to 65 days. So 3 days of improvement in working capital cycle, And in this quarter, even though we are not giving quarter-by-quarter cash flow figures to you guys, but you can understand that in this quarter, the operating cash flow would have been much better than the operating cash flow of the first quarter, right? And we will continue to work on that margin expansion and reduction in NWC. Both these combined together will give a positive operating cash flow.
Sure. And the acquisitions which we did, in August, and the two announced, the ones we have announced recently, if you can split the stated between the institutional side of the business, the revenue coming from that, and the revenue coming going to the retail pharmacy business. Because certain acquisitions are targeted mainly for hospitals and institutions, and some are targeted to cover our presence, expand our presence for the retail accounts. If you can highlight in that.
Yeah, so some of the acquisitions, more of the acquisitions have happened for the trade market, which is supplies to retail pharmacies. One or two acquisitions have a product category which reflects more of a business towards hospital, right? For example, their diagnostic consumables and equipment business is more targeted towards labs and hospitals, right? While, acquisitions like Sai Pharma in Hyderabad or Devi Pharma in Trivandrum, they are more targeted towards, retail pharmacies. Or the one in Jaipur, or the one in Khammam, or the one in Ujjain, they are all more targeted towards retail pharmacies.
Okay. And you mentioned in your opening remark related to the investments required for, preparing the business for the future growth or the resources or employees and tech investments. If you can highlight, what sort of OpEx expansion absolute you will expect going forward on a quarterly basis, or the run rate for Q2 is what we should go by as an expense line item.
See, first of all, as I told, Ram also told, and I also mentioned that, acquisitions happened during different times during the quarter, so full impact of revenue is not there, right? So once this entire revenue unfolds into our quarterly results, which would happen from quarter three, you would see, the OpEx going down as a percentage of revenue.
And the investments towards employees, we should expect the run rate to normalize, or it will have a natural growth plus more addition towards the resource planning?
No, it should, as a percentage of revenue, it will go down.
Okay. Got it. I'll join back in case. And all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks for the question, Prabhat. Prabhat, on your the acquisition that you've done for the year, how many of them have been for devices?
One of them is mostly for devices.
And going forward, do you intend to build up upon this? Is this a pan-India player? This is a regional player, as you call it?
It's a pan-India player.
How this particular space, how do we do? Are we intending to double down on it, or do similar acquisitions in this space going forward? Do we have some in the pipeline?
Yes, we have more of such in pipeline as well. This is the first acquisition we did in that space, and we like this space. It has a lot of synergy with our existing business, because at the end of the day, they provide us the products while we provide them the customers. So it's a good synergy between their product and our customers. So such kind of synergistic opportunities we would pursue more in future as well.
These are hospital-based diagnostics and device supplies, or these are retail devices? Where would these supplies
be? These are mostly hospital and lab-based, not retail.
Okay.
So these are like, you know, diagnostic equipment. They have, you know, blood glucose monitors and things like that, which are mostly sold in hospitals and labs and other, you know, IVD products. Vacuum collection tubes and all that. Those are mostly sold in hospitals and labs.
Got it. And you see opportunity to really build this business meaningfully from the size scale that you've already got from here?
Yes. You know, this business is growing, so we would definitely want to add to that.
And secondly, in terms of, you know, the number of retailers that we are will probably be reaching out to after the round of acquisition that you've done so far. I think we mentioned we're reaching about 65,000 retailers by end of F24. How would the number move by now?
So in the first half, we sold to 80,000 retailers around.
Okay.
Retail pharmacy.
And where do you see this number really reaching over the next, with whatever plans you have in mind over the next year and a half?
It is difficult to give exact number because again you will hold me accountable for it. So what we are saying, you know, we are pursuing both growth in customer base as well as growth in wallet share. But you know, if you look at our historical numbers, you know, it is growing by 10% year on year.
This is on a, this is including the acquisition.
Including acquisitions, yes.
And in terms of, you know, when you are looking for your future acquisitions, are there any particular regions that you are targeting or how is, I mean, so basically, so when you are looking out for newer targets, it is it region agnostic or are you looking at whatever is good comes your way or you are specifically focused on filling gaps in certain regions and going after looking for retailers and those distributors in those regions?
Yeah, we are trying to fill some gap with every acquisition, either it's a region or it's a product. So if you look at, you know, 7-8 acquisitions that we have done this year, you know, let's say PLS Biotech, which is a device company, it helped us to improve our gap in the device sector. On the region front, we took an acquisition in Trivandrum, we were not present there. We bought a distributor in Khammam, we bought a distributor in Ujjain, we bought a distributor in Bijapur. So all these, you know, are region specific because we had no presence in those regions.
And if I can take it further, you know, what proportion of the pin codes are we covering now with the distributor that we acquired?
See, you should look at that. We are covering around 500 districts in India, you know, out of 750 districts. So ideally, all the pin codes in that district we can cover.
Okay.
So India has 20,000 pin codes. I don't have this number readily that in those 500 districts, how many pin codes are there, but probably, you know, I would say 2/3 of the total pin codes.
So basically, that I was coming more from that. So about 2/3 of the districts we are already covering from the network that we've created so far.
Right.
And lastly, Prabhat, with what you see on the network, you know, we've been growing at 15%, which is almost 2x the market for the last few quarters now. With, you know, with your ability to increase wallet share and to reach out to more retailers, I mean, if you take a 2 to 3 year view, what is the kind of sustainable organic growth we can keep maintaining in the business?
Let's maintain 2x of market growth rate.
That you to a mind is very doable?
Yes.
And lastly,
the opportunities are, of course, you know, addition of retail and wallet share, but also a lot of companies are doing a lot more business with us, right? So there are a lot of, you know, opportunities that come because of this extensive network that we have created. And that all adds to organic growth.
No, absolutely. Ram, if I can take one last one, you know, is it possible for you to segregate the margin improvement which has come through in terms of maybe add-on of higher margin businesses and maybe how would the organic margins move, really speaking, in the business versus last year?
So there has been consistent improvement in both organic business as well in terms of gross margin from the procurement efficiencies because that is predominantly happening in organic business. And inorganic, obviously, with the lucrative margins, with the acquisition profiling itself, we are having the higher margin acquisition. So that is also adding to the overall thing. I think we are not at the moment disclosing the segment-wise or, you know, any kind of a logical separation there. The main reason is it is not fully dialed in and it is very, you know, too early to differentiate between both. And also going forward also, because there will be lots of internal transactions between, because like Prabhat mentioned, we have customers and they have products. At the same time, in some other geographies, there are customers, we are like Suvendram and all of that, whereas we can always use the product portfolio of other, locations. So this will create a lot of internal transactions and a lot of internal profits and all of that. That's the reason we see a combined gross margin improvement and combined efficiencies.
But as a guidance, Nitin, you know, as a strategy, you should take note of that we are only pursuing opportunities or acquisitions which are margin accretive. We are not pursuing any opportunity which is margin dilutive.
That's fair. And if I can, last one, we've already got to 9.4% gross margins now. I mean, how realistic is it to expect like a double-digit gross margin at some time over the next year or so?
So, all the levers that I mentioned before, which is, better product mix and procurement efficiency, you are seeing that in the results for last few quarters. That's the reason why, our gross margins have expanded continuously from 8.5% to now reaching almost 9.5%, right? The juice is not finished. Still, there are opportunities quite a bit to expand from here on as well.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Krupa Desai from...
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
So my question was, with the complete impact of acquisition visible in H2, and as those acquisitions are high margin acquisitions, so will we see further improvement in EBITDA margins? Like in H1, we did 3%. So can we expect on consolidated level 3.3 to 3.5% of EBITDA margin?
So, you should look at quarter on quarter, so for example, quarter 1 was 2.8, now quarter 2 is 3.3, so 50 basis points has already happened in one quarter. So, we are, projecting that trajectory to continue, right, because the full impact of recent acquisitions will dial in from quarter 3. Plus the other, initiatives on margin expansion is in work in progress. So all in all, this expansion of margins would continue quarter on quarter.
So we can expect 20-30 basis point improvement Q on Q on margins. Is that what you are trying to say?
I mean, difficult to give exact basis point improvement, but yeah, if you look at my earlier guidance, we had said that in FY25, we should be approaching 4%, right? So last year we did close to 3%. So this year, quarter on quarter, we should move on to those numbers.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from Shukumar Prajapati from Ambit Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. And first of all, congratulations for this set of numbers. So I would like to understand the filtration criteria for our acquisitions. Could you please explain this?
So the filtration criteria is very simple. Basically any acquisition that we are looking at should bring something new to the network, right? Because what is valuable is the network. And, either the acquisition has to bring a new geography that we are not servicing today, so it expands our geographical reach, or it has to bring a new product category that we are not doing till now. Like, for example, we added... the PLS, we added diagnostic equipment and consumables. So our filtering criteria is basically anything that we look at to add to our network should bring something new to the network that we were not doing before.
Okay, understood. You said you have around 280 crores of unutilized funds, including 45 crores for this acquisition, like inorganic growth. And you have mentioned that you have already done like 750 crores of acquisition and 160 is announced. So that means, does that mean in Q4 we won't see any acquisitions, and post this year, like in FY26, the pace for acquisitions will go down?
No, so we think that still a lot of opportunities exist in the market. There are a lot of virgin spaces still left, you know, a lot of places where we can expand to. So I don't expect, at least this year, next year, our acquisition strategy will not slow down. You know, maybe after FY26, we will have a look at it, you know, where more we want to, you know, execute on the M&A space. But this year and next year, I don't think that intensity will go down.
Okay, sir. And when can we expect our operating cash flows to be positive?
Yeah, I think with the margin improvement and then optimization on the net working capital days that we are, you know, continuously targeting, I think by next year this should be positive.
Okay, sir. By next year. Okay. And sir, so the promoter holding is currently 53% to 54%. As per our strategy, we give some portion to our the people who are handling the acquired firms. So can you give what number of what percentage of shares do they hold, like the acquired firms owner?
I think it's 2 to 3%, right? That's right. You know, when we acquired them, we offered them this shareholding. I mean, they paid the entire money, and we paid them the entire money, and they used that proceeds to buy shares in Entero. So cumulatively, I think anywhere between 2 to 3% they must be holding now.
Okay, great, sir. And sir, like, just want to understand something on this Health Edge platform. So how we are planning to monetize this?
So HealthEdge platform, basically the idea is to connect the retail pharmacies to our warehouses, you know, whereby the technology that is being used by those retail pharmacies is provided by us. So they can compete more effectively in the market. The monetization would happen through supply of our products to this. So it helps us to improve the wallet share in those pharmacies.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you so much.
May we request that you return to the questions queue for follow-up questions, as there are several past participants waiting for their turn. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. The next question is from the line of Alok Dalal from Jefferies India Private Limited.
Yeah, good afternoon, Prabhat. Just to confirm a few points. For FY25, you earlier given a guidance of 35% to 40% revenue growth. Is that still on?
Yes, still on.
Okay. And based on your comments, by end 4Q25, the company should be around 4% EBITDA margins. Is that correct?
Yes, that's our target, yeah.
All right. And then what can we expect the working capital days for March 2025?
You know, our target will be somewhere between 60 to 65 days.
Sorry, 60 to 65?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Romil Jain from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congrats on good numbers, sir. Sir, just two questions from my side. One is on the hospital business. Just how much would that business be currently, and what is at what rate it is growing at?
Around 24% is our hospital business today.
Okay, and what was the growth rates in the first half?
It's similar to what our overall organic growth rate is 15%, right? So
okay,
more or less in that vicinity.
Okay. And sir, secondly, I just want to understand on the competitive landscape, because obviously the market is pretty large and there are a lot of unorganized players also, and there are a lot of other larger players also, which are kind of organized. So how do you see the competitive landscape, if you can just help us understand that?
See, if you look at, when we are saying organized players, we are talking about people like MedPlus and Apollo, right? Chain pharmacies, isn't it?
Yep.
So if you look at that, the net store additions of these players have only slowed down, right? So, the pace at which they were trying to organize the market earlier has slowed down. Everyone is now focusing on, on improving their financial metrics rather than, increasing the store count. See, we believe that India, by and large, will remain fragmented on the pharmacy side, because it's very difficult to organize the pharmacies across India. There are so many organized players, they have been in existence for last 20, 30 years. And all the stores belonging to organized pharmacies, not more than 15,000, right? All put together. Out of, let's say, 900,000 to 1 million pharmacies in India. So, hardly 1.5% or 1.5 to 2% in terms of store count belongs to chain pharmacies or organized buyers. Rest of it is still unorganized after 20-30 years of efforts that has gone towards this. So that gives me a confidence that market would largely remain unorganized on the retail pharmacy front.
Okay. So how is your non-medicine portfolio doing? Are we trying to even grow that? Let's say the surgical equipment, etc.
Yeah, today, if I look at the product level cut, almost 10% of our revenues are coming from non-pharmaceutical products, which is non-medicines, So it includes products like coronary stents, it includes products like implants, other medical devices, diagnostic equipments, surgical items, which are non-medicines. So almost 10% of our revenues are, non-medicines, I would say.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Krishna Kiran from Creages. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. One on working capital. On the slide 11 indicates that around 300 crore increase in working capital. So just want to check whether all the 300 crore is inorganic route or our base business also or organic business also is seeing some increased working capital in absolute terms?
Yeah, in absolute terms it includes for both. Actually it is towards the working capital of the existing entities we have funded, but indirectly I think we also have the internal accruals coming in from there that we can always use for the acquisitions. So because these are all subsidiaries. We have about 46 subsidiaries and we fund their working capital and the efficiencies will use that for the internal accruals, which we will use for the acquisitions.
No, the question is, I'm just trying to get it right. So the increase in the working capital in the last 6 months is around 300 crores as per the presentation. Is it possible to mention that or break up that how much would have been for organic and how much would have been inorganic one? Because 750 crore of acquisition revenue, 300 on some 50 looks like 150 days of working capital. It looks high. Somewhere my calculations are wrong. Just want to get more sense there.
Yeah. Half of it you can take for the existing.
Half of them is like 154.
Slide number 11 is not the right slide.
No, this is not the right slide, but out of this fund, he's asking existing this thing. So,
I mean, this time in the 6 months, we have given the balance sheet also, right?
Yeah, so we have given the balance sheet.
You can figure out the balance
that
sheet.
That includes inorganic, organic.
Okay.
That includes inorganic and organic. That is the reason from the fund side. So you can assume 50% Krishna.
Understood. Understood. I just want one clarification, that because we, if I remember correctly, like 35 to 40% growth on top line and margin 100 basis points, that is like exit 100 basis points is exit 100 or FY25 completely?
Exit run rate.
Understood. Yeah, and lastly, if I can, like, because on the minority interest, like, we have seen a significant jump in minority interest compared to previous quarters. So, from there, this number has actually gone up. Can this help us, sir?
Yeah, we did the recent acquisitions. If you noticed the announcements, we have acquired 70% and 80% about 4 to 5 acquisitions, which we have announced. So this is the minority interest from there.
Okay, so other subsidiaries effectively has not, because large part of our subsidiary is 100%. Okay, got it, sir. Thanks. That's from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Jain from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand, so in this quarter, we have seen good improvement in our gross margins by around 40 basis points. And we have guided for about 100 basis expansion in EBITDA. So just wanted to understand that in H2, do we expect gross margins to further improve, or like you said that we are working on some operational efficiency, so that will drive the margin expansion, or we expect gross margins to further improve from here?
Yeah, so further expansion of EBITDA margin from here on will be a combination of both gross margin and operating leverage.
Okay, so we can expect the gross margins to further improve by about 20 to 30 basis points, right?
I mean, the exact breakup of that is not, we are not giving that guidance, but what we are saying, if we have to reach exit run rate of 4% plus EBITDA margins, so naturally, you know, from, we are at 3.3 in quarter two, right? So that's 70 basis points, part of it will come from operating leverage and part of it will come from expansion in gross margins.
Understood, sir. Sir, also,
the next question is from the line of Vibhav Khandelwal from Laban Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was regarding the medical devices, basically the non-medicine split. Do we have any targets from a 3 to 5 year horizon? What the revenue share from non-medicines, that is some of these medical devices and surgical devices, for and so forth, would be on the revenue split?
No, we don't have any specific guidance on that.
All right, okay, thank you. One more question I had was regarding, you know, organized retail. So I acknowledge your points you made earlier on. Also wanted to understand, you know, from the incrementally, you know, all these done or these stores coming in, I just wanted to understand your, you know, the impact that Intero might have from these stores, let's say from a 3 to 5 year horizon.
Sorry, can you just... Are you talking about the generic stores?
The generic stores, yes. The PMs and Genosity stores? Yes.
So, yeah, at the end of the day, we are not supplying to Genosity stores. So, they are not built into our customer base anyways, right? So, that market we always count out, right? So, we don't count in our market only from beginning.
No, I understand that. My question was more an impact from a competitive standpoint.
I mean, I don't see that, you know, Jan Aushadhi stores will occupy any significant chunk of overall market going forward as well.
Wanted to understand the rationale on that, sir.
There are different customer segments. You know, for Gen Aushadhi centers are, you know, satisfying the needs of a different class of customers, right? Not everyone is going to Gen Aushadhi stores, right? People who are prescription-driven are going mostly to the retail pharmacies, right? India still has a lot of belief, or the patients believe in the doctor-driven prescription. They don't choose the medicine. They're not brand agnostic, or they don't switch, or they don't substitute, most of the people.
Understood. All right, that was all from my end. Thank you.
Please, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chintan Seth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. I'm trying to understand the guidance part, which you mentioned that 35% for this year, the revenue growth. The IPM growth seems to have, you know, slowed down a little bit in terms of from low double digit to now single digit trend. And if we are aspiring to grow 2 times our IPM growth, it implies mid to high teen growth for our organic piece of the business. And remaining, you are expecting coming from inorganic growth. If you look at our first half, we have kind of integrated or consolidated around 200 odd crores of inorganic growth in the first half, if I'm not wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. That implies the second half will be a little lumpy in terms of consolidating the acquisitive revenue in our numbers. If you can throw some light on the current year, and if you also help us, what's the pipeline for next year to be looked into for our understanding in terms of inorganic.
So, yeah, you know, as Ram and me both said that, you know, some of these acquisitions happened during different times in first half. So the full impact will come in the second half, right? So you would see more inorganic numbers in quarter two, even if you don't do anything more from now, right? So, but we will continue to add more, you know, even new acquisitions every quarter. So, you know, of course, the inorganic component would increase in H2 of the year compared to H1 of the year. Secondly, you know, next year, again, as we guided that, you know, this year we are looking at 1,000 crores, so we should be, you know, pursuing similar number of acquisition targets for FY26 as well.
Sorry, come again, what was the number?
So, you know, as we gave a guidance during beginning of this year that in FY25 we should be, you know, targeting to acquire 1,000 crores. So, similarly for next financial year, we should also be similarly looking for such kind of numbers in the FY26 also.
Okay, great. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next line is from Harish Shah from Beast Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Prabha. Just a quick question. What is our blended margin for the acquisitions we made this quarter? Is it still in the range of 6-8%?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
As there are no further questions, I now like to hand the conference over to manage for closing comments.
I would like to thank everybody for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with our investor relations advisors. Thank you once again and have a great day.
On behalf of Monarch Network Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.